Blog Talk Radio. By the facade of common belief systems. To the awareness of a master, the only common element of diverse life forms is the presence of the infinite. From the Elfin Quest cards by Almin, welcome to your show, Life of Miracles. And I'm Sandra Saradisi, and with us our beautiful Denise Regan. Angel, welcome.
Thank you, Sandra. It's great to be connecting with you again this week and all our listeners. Excited to be here.
And we just read from the Elfin Quest card this incredible message from the Principles of Happiness. The illusion of uniformity is created by the facade of common belief systems. To the awareness of a master, the only common element of diverse life forms is the presence of the infinite.
Wow, I love that. It's all things have equal value because the infinite is in everything.
In each life form, the diverse.
Yeah, and to see the uniqueness of each life form is recognizing the infinite.
Yeah.
Oh, I would really like to revisit the Art of Happiness.
Yeah, I was just thinking that today, actually. And, well, I feel it's seeming to be the same thing these days. And prior to the show, we were talking about the intense house clearing we've been doing regarding of the equinox of rapidly approaching. So house cleaning is literally around the corner. So I know you've been busy doing house cleaning within and without.
On every level, yes.
Yes.
Definitely and figuratively and literally, yes, we are cleaning house.
We are cleaning house. Isn't that great?
It feels great, actually. I really like, you know, cleaning out and decluttering and, you know, and both, like, even physically, just shedding, you know, what no longer reflects where we are, the truth of who we are. It feels great. It's not always easy, but, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, but
I actually picked a room the other night. I have found myself working closer and closer with the ruins from the Labyrinth of the Moon book. And it actually, the room that I picked, it had to do with releasing any ideas of who I thought I was. It's like pretty much stripping everything. And, you know, I'm continuing. That was, I think, 2 nights ago. And yesterday, I went to visit a friend in Lisbon and in closer to like the what would be called the downtown. And she's an artist. And what was really intriguing to me was that she had all this like huge canvases, like paintings, like she actually created a series of these paintings that only had the outline and hair and no features, no eyes, no nose, no mouth, no ears, and just like white inside, plain white. And what it would change is it would just be the hair, be like blonde, black, red, all kinds of frizzy, straight. The hairdo would be different. And at first when I saw it, and then she had like big ones, big canvas, and then like huge, like the size of almost half of a wall. And with different mediums also, not only acrylic, but also like she's working with different mediums. So at first when I saw it, Angel, the first one, I was like, oh, I was like, so, like, it's funny because for me, what I said, oh, I would like for you to paint a pair of red lips in here. I said something. And then I kept looking and looking, and what it was really staring inside me was that releasing of identity. Mm. And so it kind of goes back to that rune that I picked the night before. So I got really deep into it, and she was explaining to me that some people are uncomfortable looking at that, and one of the reasons why she did it is so people can fill in the blank pretty much.
That's amazing. Are you finding, though, the more deeply you work with the runes, that it's the gap between inner and outer is almost like just a thin veil now? Like, you had the rune the night before, and then the next day, through this unfolding work of art, here you are experiencing the, you know, maybe,
like,
you
want to
say the meaning, meaning of that rune in a, you know, a very practical, beautiful, graceful way, you know. But are you finding that the more you work with the runes that's happening? Like, the gap between, you know, one, getting the inside, or, you know, getting the deeper, another level, another layer uncovered, it's coming easier or almost instantaneous?
Yes, I could say that. Yeah, and I could also say that for me there are tools for activating something inside me. Because what I might be feeling that I don't have the words for, then I open the book and I get a rune, and it's like what I had into a concept, and now it's like manifested or materialized into words.
Yeah. Well, explains that the runes are high magic. They're incorruptible, you know, messages from the infinite. Which, you know, it really is ourselves talking to ourselves. But working with them, you're right. It just activates that almost effortless knowing or instant manifestation at a much faster rate than before, I've noticed.
Yeah, so then again, is like that the gap is like non-existent, because with Belvastata is like the white magic, this in a different facet than the runes, because we're clearing. And I heard myself saying this. Actually, I was speaking with a friend of mine that is in Latin America on Facebook, and he was in Spain first, and then we started chatting, and he says, no, I'm in Colombia. And I said, "Oh, how come?" And he says, "Well, some people have died." I go, "Really? Well, I know your grandmother died. Just parents of my friends have died." So it was like instantly I found myself sending him the painting that Amin has given us from the Arcturians for the healing of negative emotions.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent that to him, and I said, "This is from my teacher, Almin, and she received this from the Arcturians." And I said, negative emotions. So it's so amazing how I'm discovering myself through others. Like, I'm just fascinated because I find myself saying things that I haven't said before. And it's like the explanation is at a different level, as you're saying, at a deeper level. So I said to him, "This will heal negative emotions that you may be holding as a result of all this, the grieving, you know, the loss of loved ones. And this creates a density," I said, "in between, you know, your heart's desires and the manifestation. So the clearer you are, the faster you will manifest your heart's desires. So when we have a light heart, then that's what happens. You know, the fairy heart, the light heart, it's just this joyful heart. It just manifests instantly. There is nothing sticking."
Yeah. That's so wonderful because...
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I have never said it this way.
No.
I never heard anybody explaining it.
No. And to think of sharing that particular light elixir is amazing.
I know. And he says, "Oh, I'm gonna make it, like, I'm gonna play, put it on my big full screen." He says, I feel something." And I was like, "Wow." And I started to tune into more, and I found more beauty than before.
I know. I love that picture because you're right. I find the colors in it, because I'm sitting here looking at it, they have changed. Like, it's almost, they're more vibrant than they
alive.
Were before. More alive. Thank you. Yes. Colors are clearer. It does look different. So I wanted to actually share something because I saw on the diary there's a request to share if, you know, anybody wants to participate. All the Masters of Belvaspitaa to join in and do the Kanish Belvaspitaa for a period of, I believe it's 30 days. And I'm really delighted because I'd already started this a few weeks ago.
You get the golden star, Angel?
I did. I just felt like I really wanted to work with it. And Malu and I had shared the Kanish Belvaspitaa on the radio show. So I kind of really wanted to, you know, I started practicing more of it, all the levels before the show. And then I've continued just because I love it so much. And I offer it, you know, the blessings by proxy for Almin. And, you know, the A-team has just shared that this, you know, we could do this as a way to support Almin and her family. And, of course, all of humanity and the cosmos right now with all the destruction that's taking place. So I was, during the week, I had one of my friends, her mom is just recently diagnosed with cancer. And I hadn't seen her for a few days, so when I saw her, I asked, you know, "How is your mom doing?" And, you know, I could feel like she was, you know, upset. She seemed worried and, naturally, I guess. So I was asked, like, talking to her, and she's, you know, telling me all kinds of things. And, you know, I said to her, like, you know, what's the biggest thing that's bothering you? And she said, well, my mom's just in denial, and, you know, she doesn't want to, like, follow through with any, you know, any specialist appointments and all of this, right? So, you know, she's saying no to everything. So, of course, I can understand for a family that's, you know, maybe not what they want to hear. And, you know, she's like, oh, she doesn't realize that it's not just her going through this. Like, you know, it's affecting all of us. So I said, would your mom be open to any, you know, any angel healing or anything like that? And she's, oh, I'm sure she'd be open to it, but I don't think she would follow up on it, you know. And I said, well, I'll keep her in my prayers, is what I said. And she's like, oh, that, you know, that'd be great. So at time, as I do, I go out to my car and I do the Kanush.
I'm going to have to correct you and interrupt you for a moment. That is not a car. Neither is a vehicle. That is the portal to angelic healing.
It is my sacred space. But I go and I do the Kanush Balvaspata, and I'm offering it for this, my friend's mom, and you know, trust the blessings are there. And when I went back after lunch, and I'm talking to actually I just come back from lunch, and my friend comes over and she's like, oh my God, Denise, you won't believe this, I just got off the phone with my mom. She talked to her sister in Italy, and she's like totally fine now. Her sister reassured her it was nothing. You know, she had had the same surgery, and she'd be fine. And like the whole shift was unbelievable. And I could feel her relief. I could feel her, you know, sense.
When you were doing the session, you mean?
Afterwards. Like, okay. After. I was just holding the perfection. I wasn't seeing, you know, I wasn't seeing any illness. I wasn't seeing any outcome. I was just held her in my heart when I was doing the Kanish. And, but that's how quickly it shifted, you know, and I was thinking about it, and because it felt like, oh my God, this feels like a miracle somehow, for the mom to have such a change and shift in attitude and perspective, and you know, to be, it was amazing. But what I got was, like, before Almeen, when I studied, I used to study A Course in Miracles, which, you know, was a metaphysical book. Anyways, it's a long time ago. But I always remembered one thing it said was, for a miracle to take place, it would never occur if it was going to create more fear or more fear or illness, right? Like, really, it's not going to happen. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought, wow, for my friend, this was a miracle, because her mom completely turned around and was now open to, you know, having the help and support that she was resisting before. So it wasn't that all of a sudden now she's cancer-free, because that would create more fear. Like, who would, oh, you know, she wouldn't be able to believe that. But to be able to hear on, you know, the level of consciousness that she's at, and to have that acceptance, would, you know, there's no longer the resistance there. it just opens up a whole new path for more miracles to flow in. Right? I was just seeing all of this through my friend's eyes. It was like really. I was like, oh, angels, you're so amazing. Because the other thing is, the miracle doesn't always come the way that we think it should either. Like, if there's an expectation there, you know, it doesn't always come that way, the way we think it should. So, I've just been looking at that. You know, what is a miracle? And, you know, are we, like, completely immersed in... Because I always tell everybody, oh, I live a life of miracles. And then to just have the awareness of the little things, it's very inspiring for me, I think. You know, because sometimes we think the miracle has to be something big and huge. And
well, that was very huge. Anyway.
Well, it was, but it could have easily been overlooked as, you know, oh yeah, that's nice, you know, your mom changed her mind, or but if it felt to me like when she was talking to me, it felt like, wow, this is a huge, this sudden shift in, you know, in perspective. And I think we were going to share something about that, changing your perspective.
Yeah.
That means Book of Life and Miracles.
Totally.
So it just all kind of...
Everything flows together. It's just in one.
Yeah.
So I'll let you start about how we change our perspective and then the welcoming of change, if you want to start.
Yeah, well, Almeen says if we don't take responsibility for our actions, then we cannot move forward. So the first guideline to achieve this is to realize that the environment is a mirror of, you know, of what's going on inside. But we're also moving beyond the life of mirrors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've also been working with the ceremony, the principles of regeneration. And one of them is I do not engage in the games of mirrors. Mm-hmm. But it is a good... Like, keeping that in mind, it's good to recognize the mirrors in our environment as to what's going on inside. So when we change our perception, of course, our environment changes. And the secret is to welcome change, and change occurs through life's challenges. So not to resist the change, but to welcome it. And I think many people say, oh yeah, I want to change and I'd like to change this or that. But when it comes down to putting the action to the effort into it, really most people don't want to change anything.
I had a very unique situation a couple nights ago, and I decided to take a taxi. I had to walk a short distance, but it was not the short distance that I was trying to avoid walking. It was like it was raining and I didn't know where the address was. And I thought, okay, it's not too far, so I might as well just take a taxi and get there on time. Well, little I knew that my taxi driver had no GPS and neither knew where I was going. So we were literally lost. He asked a colleague, another taxi driver. I had made calls. Nobody was answering the phone. And the quicker I wanted to get to the place, the lesser I was getting there. I mean, it was just insanity. And I had so much resistance to that experience that I understood that sometimes we think that the experience has to be this extravagant, exotic, deep, mystic experience. No, this was like a mundane experience that I was not able to surrender. And I was in the taxi, and I'm like, okay, infinite, what do I know? This man probably needs the money, needs the light, needs... I was just like, why do I feel like I'm trapped in this cab? And we had gone by the street, by the address, and we had to come back. And I had all kinds of distorted emotion running through me. I felt unfair. I felt like it was crazy how, you know, and I was just like in silence, but I had like all this internal turmoil going inside. And at the same time, so while I was rebelling, I was surrendering, and I wanted to see the larger picture. And this all happened in a span of 30 minutes, but something that would have taken me under 10 minutes, it took me not only 30 minutes, but on top of that, I dropped my cell phone in his cab.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, luckily, I had called from his phone. Like, he had phoned one of my friends that after three phone calls, the fourth phone call, this friend of mine answered, and he gave directions to him how to get to the library where I was going. And so my friend had the phone of the cab driver, which he already had phoned asking if I had left anything in the car, but I didn't know because it was busy until it was time to look for my phone.
Right.
So I was like, what is the deal? So I had to pay for another cab ride for him to drop off my phone.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, okay, what is it I'm opposing, resisting? You know, why does it have to be opposition? You know, where am I not, like, getting my lesson? So I was just observing that little lesson that doesn't look like it was a big thing, but it was a big thing.
So did you get,
well,
did you get the insight?
Well, I got my phone, I got everything. I just felt that I need to work at a deeper level on surrendering.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't gotten all the layers. That's one of the layers. And one thing I have observed is that you just wait and we receive all the information that we need to and that we're ready.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, we never know, like in the larger perspective, what, you know, what else is going on. You know, who knows, maybe by being delayed, you know, what did that prevent somewhere else, or, you know, what?
Or even at the place where I was going, I don't know if the place was ready for me. Who was at that place, the angels were, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have, from my vantage point, I mean, it looks like, you know, it cost me money if we only look at 3D, you know, three-dimensionally, and, well, it goes way beyond that, the ripple. And when I, you know, when I left the cab, I, not that I was, you know, like rude to the driver, but we're all sensitive to each other's energy. So I apologized to him. I said, please accept my apologies for my impatience, I said to him.
Yeah.
Just, well, I was like late on my appointment. And on top of it all, I was, you know, paying for that. So.
Yeah. Well, Almeen says, if we learn to embrace the challenges that bring change to our doorstep, our spiritual journey will be greatly accelerated. Remember, a challenge is merely a piece of the mystery of being, that we have as yet not solved. And that's just, you know, it's part of the fun of being on this journey, mm-hmm. right? The adventure. We, you know, we're not perfect and, you know, every single moment we're going to have challenges and, you know, maybe resist. But, you know, we have the awareness that when we surrender, life is more graceful. So, you know, we have these little incidents that come up to remind us, to remind us of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There's another room in the house you didn't clean yet.
Yes. bring out the vacuum.
Yeah. Forgot the vacuum, a little dust in there.
Yeah. So.
But then, you know, and then on the other hand, we were talking about how the gap between cause and effect has become thinner and thinner. And in some cases, it's just like, boom, it's just there. How instant manifestation of thoughts and increase in synchronicities happens, which is the definition of a life of miracles.
Yes.
And Amin talks about how at first miracles are only visible to the performer. And when we pass the test of not needing to persuade others for the sake of approval, then our power grows and we can openly show a life of miracles.
And all of this can be found in Almeen's book, A Life of Miracles, which we haven't looked at in a while, have we?
Yeah, we haven't, exactly.
There's some wonderful, wonderful perspectives and insights in this book.
And I love how she says that, you know, once, what we once regarded as a miracle, it can just be like a state of living, and it's our everyday reality. It just become like every everyday thing, like miracles.
Yeah, it's how we live our life. Oh.
Yeah, I just think about it, and it happens, or an angel whisper in my friend's ear, and then my friend decides to make my wish come through. You know, it's just like tons of miraculous ways of miracles. Let's be a little redundant here. Miraculous ways of welcoming miracles in our lives.
Yeah.
So it's not just, as you were saying, like it is one specific way or form for miracles to manifest. You know, so I was just sharing with you earlier, like a Belvastata angel, while I was doing a Belvastata session, gave a message to my girlfriend, and she was able to help me out with the situation that I was going through, and I didn't even have to say a thing because it was taken care of by this incredible beings of light and frequency, the Belvastata angels that, I mean, I just like was in tears when my girlfriend told me the message she received.
Yes, me too. Yeah, it was beautiful, actually. And truly a gift, you know.
Truly a gift.
Yeah. We can't say enough about the angels
how much in great company we are, right, Angel? Like they're with us.
They truly are our allies. They truly are, and the angel gods. Oh my God, exquisite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot imagine life truly, I cannot imagine, you know, living without the angels or the angel gods. Like, truly, I feel like, you know, they are my best friends in the etheric.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, forever grateful to Amin for bringing in the incredible gift of the angel gods and the Belvaspata angels. And
yeah.
And, you know, I was just feeling the other night, actually, I wanted to run it by you because I just share with one person, but she doesn't study with Amin. And two nights ago, actually, I had it in dream time. I experienced a different vibration for what is similar to love, but is not love.
A similar vibration to
what we know as love.
Yes.
Physicality.
Yeah.
But it was even similar to love. And I don't know if anything has changed in the cosmos.
Oh, I feel like there's huge cosmic shifts, mm-hmm. especially in this last week.
So last week I had a couple of dreams, which I haven't had dreams in a while, and then I have dreams. So it was like I was emerging from the almost the bottom of the ocean, and which is one of my biggest fears, and we're talking about how we're clearing house from all kinds of fears.
Yes.
So I was like, my dream started me trying to emerge from pretty close to the bottom of the ocean, and it was nighttime. I was emerging, and I thought for sure, my only thought was like, I'm not going to make it to the surface.
Wow.
And I'm going to just like, die here because I'm not going to make it to the surface. But I kept trying, and it was like in an instant I was out. My head was out, and all these incredible dolphins swimming by me. Tons of dolphins.
Dolphins?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what's incredible though that you're saying that? We, on the upcoming Belvaspata show I have with Malou, we have this week as a guest is Jan. And Jan had said something that kind of just stuck with me. And I'll have to go back and listen to her exact words. But she said the way she feels or sees how Amin is exactly how you've just described in your dream. That she's on the bottom of the ocean, like under all this water, and we're kind of on the top of it. So that's how she, you know, feels the connection.
Really? I didn't listen to her.
I am just like hearing, and I'm like, that's what you're describing is the image I have from Jan's words. I'll have to go back and listen to it like clearer, but that's exactly what she was saying. So, and then you're saying that, you know, you emerge from the water. That's, I don't know, that's feeling like great hope in my heart hearing you say that.
I thought I was not going to make it. And this is my biggest fear. I don't even like jump from a trampoline anywhere because, so this is like something, like a fear of.
Yeah, of drowning or.
Of drowning, exactly. Yeah. So my fears, my dreams started in that, like I'm down there.
And yeah.
And it's dark. It's not only you're in the depthness of the ocean. It's not a sunny afternoon where you get the suns of the rays of light inside the ocean. No, it's completely dark in there.
Which is, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But it does feel like there's another layer to that too, like clearing the fear. And dolphins are what? Right brain
Yeah, non-cognitive information.
information. Yeah.
So,
And the black waters would be, like it all dark and
yeah. And I started to swim and swim, and I said, I'm not gonna think about how much I have to swim. I'm not gonna even think what's underneath this water. I'm just gonna swim.
Wow.
And I forgot what I was gonna say after that, but it doesn't
Yeah.
matter. But yeah, but it's just this, the dreams are, I was just gonna say how I had that dream and then another dream. I can't remember what I was gonna say after, but it's obviously that we needed to officially make a statement about this.
Yes. It feels good though.
Oh, I was
Emerging from the
yeah,
waters.
emerging. Like I was like in that moment where all this is like all bubble, like that
Yeah.
sound,
Yeah.
and then you came up, and I was just saying that. Oh, I remember now that a couple nights ago I had this like expansion in my heart, and it was like a new emotion I have never felt before.
Like a lightness.
It was like bliss, love, joy, like a mix of emotions that made one emotion.
Oh.
Yeah, I even didn't even attempt to describe it until this very moment. But yeah, but it was maybe to do with love because there were two dogs involved, and oh. Yeah, there were two dogs involved. That's what I'm just feeling. It had to do with relationships. But,
Well,
yeah.
who knows? Who knows? If
Emerging
like
from these waters bring us new way of being, of feeling, of seeing, of all togetherness.
and then, we're doing the Cornish Bell Hospital for 30 days as a life family all over the world. Can you imagine the gifts to the cosmos with that? How, we have to emerge into something new after that, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna go and listen to the show. I wanna listen to what Jan said. I didn't
Oh,
even.
it's not till Saturday, my love.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah, we.
Okay. So that's why it's impossible I could have heard it. Okay, I get it.
Yes, it's coming up on Saturday, so we're very excited to have that. But it was good. So, lots of wonderful new things and new emerging.
And you know what? I just wanted to share, just like while listening to you, I have felt that, and I think it came from, I can't remember from where, but like being in more in a stillness, I can hear my daily mantra. So, and then it's not the same every day.
Yes.
But it happens that for the last 3 days is the same for me.
And what is it?
I am all things. And before that was I delight in the beauty of my being.
Yes, I like that one.
So I don't know, it's not that I'm trying to locate where the information is gonna come. I just sit there. Actually, I sit in the subway, in the metro, and I just wait for the mantra.
Really?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is something new I have, a new little game I have made up for myself.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. You can go in your angelic portal and wait for your mantra. That red portal that you have.
I have several. That's the problem. Maybe I should just do that. Just pick one for the day, and that's it for the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, you know, I am an exquisite, luminous miracle. Miracles flow through me to touch everyone and everything today. I like that one.
Well, I used to have, I say them.
Yeah.
I say the mantras when I wake up, but this is like something like
new.
Specific for that day and new.
Yeah.
No, that's what it is. So.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to try that in my little angel portal. Oh, I like that. angel transporter.
Yeah.
Well, we are just about at the end, my love.
Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful essence, sister. And I look forward to next week and your miracles.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to everyone for joining us and listening in. It's such a pleasure to spend this hour with you. Thank you, my love.
Thank you.
Good night.
I would like to talk to angels today and see, first of all, what we can do to enhance our abilities to communicate with them. And secondly, to also understand more about their function. There are billions and billions of angelic presences, and they have been organized into groups and into realms, but they are very, very numerous. So what I would like to discuss with an angel, first of all, is how do we access them and when should we access them? For instance, what is their job? Let's see if we can get one to speak with us, which should not be hard. Charkir kirich maruk, min sarakrach ba, ishta. We come with a glad heart when you call us. From yours to ours, we embrace our union. I think he means from our heart to their hearts, but that's literally the way the language went. Is parkechere kerachma irikerasa, is krukurish kerek yasar mansurach. There are many languages spoken by the angels, many different forms of writing their sigils. But we are able to communicate with you like a thought within your thought, like the silence that you feel, and then we fill it with our communication. Parskirkitarku sehye marsarach, menshurkarech nensar. Ustabech vilshpaver. I am not an angel, but an angel god. Yes, I am from the angelic kingdom, but I am the overseer of other angels. So I'm asking if there are more angel gods than 441. So let's hear the answer about that. Tri ari yehiri marsach navra. You must understand the function of the 441. Those are the specific angelic gods that uphold the new reality of godhood. As divinity within you became activated, the forming of this reality was very important. because it enabled you to find a place within your daily life that you can live from, that feels at home for you. But there are many angelic gods beyond it, not as many as angels, but others you do not know about. You wonder if I am one of the 441 angels, but it is not so. Mishpar kre stra ubarech. Kre kremasur akna veshbarech. The angel is responding to questioning that's going on within my mind as I receive this information. He says that his function is to be over all the little devic beings, such as the fairies and the elves, etc. He is the angel of the realms of innocence. Shparkere ekrech maruk karas. My name I shall give you, and I will hear when you call. My name is Miss Ba Ech Vra Vi. Miss Ba, M-I-S-B-A. Ech is a, after a hyphen, so after the A comes a hyphen, and then E-C-H. Visvavi, V-I-S-V-A-V-I. That is his name. This is the angel of the Divic realms. Parshkirikra usparech. I am the angel god that protects the magic of these beings. Parkuskirik yartra mesherech. Because it is strong and others would steal it if they could. Sparkere arsturuch marsach. We speak now further about the functions of angels and angelic gods that are over the angel orders. Pirkristra mishtuch nunsar mistark arek evech. We are first and foremost servants of the Most High. You will start to effortlessly hear and speak to us as your life's actions become acts of devotion, dedicated to the glory of the One expressing through its creatures. He says the creatures is not the right word, it is beings. Through the individuated beings of the cosmos, the infinite expressing through it. If our actions are dedicated in adoration to the one life expressing through all life, then we will start to be in harmony with them. Mistrabech kiar, hearts that resonate. Kishparakuru sarakana. Time and space is no boundary to their communication. Bisparkurkre isparak. Resonance closes the gap of space. Biparaku masparikerech nasarak turak. And also the gap between the realms. He means the interdimensional gap is caused by frequency differences. It bridges that gap. And space, which is a horizontal concept, is bridged as well by resonance. Nutra bisparkirik, nasparik isherik yachnu. As servants of the Most High, you can perhaps equate it to administration. Birkrapuru trik mirisarakana arach nasurach navra. Now, he says that they are administrators of the infinite's will. I wish to just inform you that angels cannot make these analogies. Angels see life more two-dimensionally, not really two-dimensionally, but as a as an example, than angel guards. They can do analogies. They will use examples. They will have far more analytical skills, and therefore be easier to communicate with when you are trying to find a solution to a problem. They will help with that. Angels as a whole do not do that. Now, I am asking him in my mind why we are mostly speaking to masculine angels when there are also feminine angels. Prakrej Barkra Utanak Masar. You just have not called them. They have different functions. Sprech Yarsuch Meshpar Atra Meskar Hyatru Mesenech. The angelic beings of the cosmos do the infinite's will. I'm asking, what about their ability to manifest? They don't seem to have a very large ability to manifest. How then can they effectively translate the infinite's will into our physical life? That's the question that I'm asking. Prakri tre. Maskur gerevechne sarakia usparke trek marsur. You want it manifested into the physical? It takes a physical component to create angelic blessings into the physical. Parkere tramarur sabahesh. You are that presence. So it is a counterpart to the angel in creating physical manifestation. Spar ur kresna, spachve, spri ur harach. The holy journey that you are walking has had many angelic beings for different purposes. Peripara ukre erek pasar, masturkne sarach. And often you have done the ceremonies that have called them in. But because you have not done your part, the manifestation has been there, but it has been slower and in ways that you could not immediately identify. I'm trying to have him explain to me what he means by ways we cannot identify. If you ask for a loaf of bread today, but you sit back and wait without doing your part, the loaf of bread may show up in 6 months. Misparkru seberekere, and you will not associate that loaf of bread with the request you made 6 months before. So you may not understand that all of your prayers have been answered. Isprakre strau, we give you now the way in which you can cooperate with angelic assistance for to close the gap between cause and effect. Skra bishkra us. It is through gratitude for what you have that more is called in. Gratitude is very much a physical quality. Prakristra muskur ekrechni vere prakra mashturuk nunasar. And so the gratitude for what you have, and then asking for what you want, but not from a place of need. Peripra surmek kranas. That is definitely the first step. Prishprach kre, masu krava. The second part is trust. Trust is the fourth component of love, praise, and gratitude. That makes adoration in action, adoration in manifestation. In other words, it's that fourth component of trust that is necessary to bring what you request into manifested reality in the physical. Visprakre praruk marsar. Otherwise, the frequencies are produced, but it is like producing